Yeah, last week we dealt with listening as a key to a healthy relationship. We treated James 1:19, where James was encouraging us to spend more time in listening, less time in speaking, and less time to become angry. Because he said that our anger does not produce the righteousness that God requires. I'm not going to go into details because I have a lot to cover today. So today's topic is in line with what we discussed last week, the power of spoken words. The power of spoken words. Again, our theme for this family month is Galatians 5:25, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Have you ever said to yourself that this relationship or this situation will kill me? Or you say to your spouse, why did I ever marry you? Sometimes you say to yourself, I'm a failure. Or I will never be able to survive this. Or say to your children, you are good for nothing. These children will kill me in this house. So these are some words we say without realizing the consequences. When we use these types of negative words, they will unconsciously sabotage our success in life. They will unconsciously sabotage our life. How many of you have heard this saying? The words you speak will become the house you live in. The words we speak will become the house we live in. Because our words can determine who we are. In other words, our words is our personality. Our words can even be our identity. You know, sometimes you can make a statement, or somebody else can make a statement, and then your child or your friend might say, this is exactly what my father would say. So your child has identified you with one particular type of word that you speak all the time. So our word can be our identity, and our word can be our personality. When God spoke light into existence, he saw light with spiritual eyes. Remember on Sunday, I mentioned a little bit about spiritual eyes and the physical eyes. And then he spoke light into existence. God saw the light with his spiritual eyes. God didn't just wake up and say, let there be light. He has seen it with his spiritual eyes. He has envisioned it. He has seen the usefulness of light. He saw it. But seeing it didn't make it to appear. He saw it and then he spoke it into existence. Praise the Lord. Now this will tell you how powerful spoken words are. Nothing happened until God spoke. We cannot call things that are not into existence with our physical eyes. Because physical eyes can only see things that are tangible. You're seeing things, you can't call them into existence, they are there already. You are seeing them with your physical eyes, so you cannot call them into existence. You remember the story of Elisha? I'm not going to, that's a long passage, I'm not going to, because of time, I'm just going to give you a summary of it. In 2 Kings 6, when the entire place was surrounded by army with horses and chariots, the servants of Elijah were so scared, he was so afraid. And then he came in and told his master, there are lots of armies over there. The servant was afraid, but Elisha told him not to be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, this servant had the same eyes Elisha had. They both had physical eyes. But with spiritual eyes, Elisha was able to see the armies of God. And then what did he do? He prayed that God should open his eyes. And God opened his eyes, and he saw what Elisha saw. Paul encouraged us that we should pray that God should open our eyes of understanding. David said, Lord, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your words. Was David physically blind? No. He had eyes. But he needed the spiritual eyes to see. But spiritually, David was blind. And this should be our daily prayer, that God should open our spiritual eyes so we can see. Because our problem is that we believe in things we see. Just like Jesus told Thomas. Say, Thomas, as in John 20, 29, NLT, says, Thomas, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. So it's you and I. We are blessed because none of us has seen Jesus, but we believe. And Jesus is saying that we are blessed because we believe for not seeing him. Praise the Lord. All that our physical eyes will let us see our problems, while our spiritual eyes will let us see only the solutions. You remember what happened at the Garden of Eden? Adam became spiritually blind when the Spirit of God left them because of their sin, and he began to experience problems. Not only they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, but also they gave birth to the first murderer. Cain murdered his brother, Abel. As spirit beings, and that's what we are, we have the power and authority to call the things that be not into existence, things that does not exist, we can call them into existence because we are spiritual beings. Let's look at Romans 8, 9 to 11 and see what our brother Paul is telling us today. However, you are not living in the flesh, controlled by the sinful nature. In other words, if you are living in the flesh, you are being controlled by the sinful nature. That should not be what you should be experiencing, because Romans 6:2 tells us that we are what? We are dead. We are dead to sin. And if you are dead to anything, it means it cannot respond to that thing. Because we are dead to sin, sin cannot have dominion over us. Sin cannot rule us again. But that we are living in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God lives in you, so when the Spirit of God lives in you, he'll be directing and guiding you. But if anyone, this is very important, I said, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him and is not a child of God. So that should be a very big concern. If you're not a child of God, if you're not born again, he's telling us now, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you are not a child of God. Verse 10 says, if Christ lives in you, and he does, though your natural body is dead because of sin, your spirit is alive because of righteousness, which he provides. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Praise the Lord. In First Corinthians, he tells us how the Spirit of Christ came to live in us. 6:17 says, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So when we give our life to Christ, we are joined. When you are joined to something, it means you are attached. So we are attached to Christ. And because we are attached to Christ, we have the same spirit. We have one spirit with him. And this is why we are not ordinary, because we have the same spirit with Christ. Have you ever thought why Adam was able to give name to all the animals God created? It was because Adam, at that time, was a spirit being. And he was being directed and guided by the Holy Spirit of God. Adam did not go to school, but he was able to name them one by one without duplicating their names. That's so surprising. Thousands and thousands of animals, and Adam was able to give them name one by one without duplicating names. If I bring about 100 newborn children and ask you to give them names, if you name the first baby Emeka, by the time you get to the 50th one, you may forget you already named one Emeka, but Adam did not duplicate names. Praise the Lord. And what did God tell him? God told him, whatever name you give them is okay with me. Now God is telling us the same thing today. Speak my words, and I will cause it to happen. Remember his promise in Isaiah 55:11. It says, once his word goes out of his mouth, it will not come back to him void, but must achieve and accomplish what he wants. So search his word and speak it, and God will cause it to happen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And the 18, 13 and the 18, King James Version, New King James, says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, says we have the same spirit, and since we have the same spirit, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, like I said, our physical eyes will continue to see things that are around. But Paul is telling us now that why we do not look at the things which are seen. So we should not be looking at things which are seen. Looking at your body. Looking at the cancer you have. So don't look at those things you see. Because those things are not the real things. While we do not look at the things we see, which are seen, but are the things which are not seen, things that are your spiritual eyes will see. Those are the things that are more important. For the things which are seen are temporal. Temporal is, means it is going to cease. It's going to come to an end. It will not last. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Things are not seen are continuous. Things that are not seen are forever. And those things are the things your spiritual eyes see. Praise the Lord. So when you are sick and doctors give you their report, switch off. Switch off your spiritual eyes, because all your physical eyes will let you see are nothing but your problems, showing you how bad your liver is or how bad your kidney looks. Everything negative in the doctor's report. But see yourself with your spiritual eyes, which gives you nothing but solutions. Begin to see yourself whole. Begin to see yourself healed. Begin to see yourself cancer-free with your spiritual eyes and speak what you see into existence. Because we have the power, and there's power in our words. Praise the Lord. Every morning 24/7, you continue to thank God for your healing, because that is the only thing you are seeing, and that is the only report you will believe. Our words are powerful. Proverbs 18:21 Message says, words kill, words give life. They are either poison or fruit. Choose. You have to choose. Just like God told us in Deuteronomy 30:19. Can we get that amplified? When it comes to making decision, what do you choose? Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, you shall choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. Not only you will live, but you and your children, when you choose life. And this is exactly what God told Adam and Eve when they were in the garden, warning them about those two trees. Don't eat that. The day you eat that, you will die. And I believe if Adam had eaten the fruit of life, they would have lived. Jesus summarized this in John 10:10. Says, the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come to give life, and to give that life abundantly. So what is God telling us? We should always choose whatever that will honor him and bring him glory. Does our words honor him? The words we speak, do they honor God? You realize that people with no confidence can gain confidence through the words, you know, we speak on them. When you see your spouse's weaknesses, use words to build her up and not words to tear her down. Because when you do that, she will lose her confidence. Don't tear her down with her weaknesses. Don't capitalize on her weaknesses. Don't begin to speak on her weaknesses. But rather, bring her up. Speak positive to her. Husbands, someday God will tell us, I gave you this woman to build her up, but instead of making her better, you tore her apart. Again, people with confidence can lose their confidence because of the words, you know, we speak to them. The other one is people that have no confidence And this one is people with confidence. We see that in bullying. When a child is bullied in school, he or she loses her confidence. And to the point, she hates herself or himself, and even decide to commit suicide. Because bullying destroys confidence. You see, one major characteristic, this is very important, of spoken word is that the words we speak are not equally weighted. The words we speak are not equally weighted. We always remember hurtful words more than we remember encouraging words. You might begin to affirm your wife all the time, tell her how beautiful she is, tell her how much you love her, you know, affirm her all the time. But one day, just one day, you speak a hurtful word to her. She will forget all those beautiful words you've been speaking to her, but that particular word, she will never forget it. Even in 20 years, she will still remember it. She will bring it forward. Yes, she will still remember it, because that's a hurtful word. And this is why we must choose our words carefully before we speak. Praise the Lord. Number two is that the source of the word we speak are not also equally weighted. The source. The other one is the word we speak. But this one is the source. What do I mean by that? If I see my wife and don't appreciate her, and somebody else sees her and appreciate her, or if I say something, I might say something to my wife, or let me put it the other way, somebody might say something to my wife, she might ignore it. And then if I say exactly using the same word that person used on her, I'm in big trouble. Because of the source, the sources are not the same. She will not value the other person, but she values me more. So she will not expect me to say that word to her. Praise the Lord. So the source of our words are very important. We should be very mindful when we say things. There was this child, he was not doing well in school, and the father was not happy with him. And then all of a sudden, this child started making effort and started getting better and better and better. And one day, his uncle called him and said, "Man, I can see that there's a lot of improvement in you. I can see that you're progressing every day. You know, pretty soon you're going to be a medical doctor or an engineer or even the head of state." And this boy was so happy. He said, "Thanks, uncle. But I wish my father would have said that to me." So what does it mean? This child was expecting affirmation from his father, but he never got it. And do you know that this is one of the reasons some of these kids join gangs? When you hear of these gangs, this is one of the reasons. Because they don't get love from their parents. They don't get any kind of affirmation from their parents. But those guys over there are waiting for them. They affirm them, they love them, they give them what they have been missing, and they join them. So parents, fathers, mothers, this is a sound warning that we should try to affirm our children, begin to encourage them, even when they are not doing well, you pray for them, and begin to pour positive words, you know, in them. Praise the Lord. I want you to listen to this article about positive words. Say positive words can change your brain. The positive words you choose to use can literally change your brain. While researching about positive words, this article came up. Speak with kindness. How your words literally restructure your brain. From this article, you can understand the following. Dr. Andrew Newberg, a neuroscientist at Thomas Jefferson University, and Mark Robert Weidman, a communications expert, have written together the book, Words Can Change Your Brain. In this book, they write, a single word has the power to influence the expression of genes that regulate physical and emotional stress. When we use positive words like love, peace, and loving kindness, we can modify our brain functions by increasing cognitive reasoning and strengthening areas in our frontal lobes. Using positive words more often than negative words can activate the motivational centers of the brain, propelling them into action. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage and comfort one another and build up one another just as you are doing. That word, build up, I'm going to talk a little bit about it. Because Apostle Paul has a very important message for us in the book of Ephesians on how to build ourselves up. Ephesians 4:29-32. It says, do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth. But only, this is what he wants us to be speaking, but only such speech as good for building up others according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak. So before you speak, ask yourself if what I'm going to say will help to build the person up. Just keep that scripture, because I'm going to talk a little bit about building up. See, the word unwholesome means detestable, destructive, poisonous, or unhealthy. Paul is saying, I want you to guide your mouth so that nothing detestable comes out of your mouth as you speak. He says, do not let. In other words, we are in charge and control of what we speak. He said, imagine your mouth as a gate. Our mouth, imagine it as a gate. Begin to imagine your mouth as a gate and you as the gatekeeper. Yourself is the gatekeeper and your mouth is the gate. As a gatekeeper, which is you, you are in control of whatever goes in and out or whatever comes in and goes out. Paul is saying that when these detestable words try to go out of the gate, which is your mouth, close it. Shut it up, or lock it up, lock the gate, lock your mouth, don't let it out. Praise the Lord. Now, he now tells us the words we should let out, like I said, but only such speech as is good for building up others according to their needs and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak. Only what is good to build of others. That's what you're supposed to speak. That's the word we're supposed to speak. That should be our language. And how can we build each other up? Number one, by showing them love. When you are having conversation with someone, do it with love. Let your conversation be seasoned with love. In Colossians 4, 6, I'm going to be a little bit far because I have a video that I'm going to show at the end of my lesson, and it's so rewarding video. Ephesians 4, 6 says, let your speech at all times be gracious, at all times, not sometimes. It says, let your speech at all times be what? Gracious. Why the word gracious? That word gracious and pleasant. That word gracious is so important. It's so important because even if you're having conversation with someone that you don't like, even if you have conversation with someone that is speaking to you negatively, you say, let that conversation be graciously and pleasant. In other words, the person may not deserve the kind word you want to speak to her, to him or her. But because of the grace, he does not merit it. Just like we receive the grace of God. He said, graciously allow him or her to hear those sweet words, irrespective of what he's saying to you. Seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer each one who questions you. Praise the Lord. So Paul is saying that when you are having conversation with someone that does not even love you, you should graciously show him love. Now Peter put it in this way. In 1 Peter 3, 9, he says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. You're having conversation and they insult you. Say, don't retaliate. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6, 16, 14 says, let everything you do be done in love, motivated and inspired by God's love for us. Motivated. Paul said the love of Christ makes him to do or made him to do what he was doing. This is the love of Christ. Would you begin to imagine how much Christ loved you or loves you, that he went and died for you, even when you don't deserve it. Number two, how we build each other up with our words. Show humility. Show humility as you are talking with someone. And what it means, treating everyone with respect. Even your child. He or she is your child. But when you are talking to him or her, talk to her with respect. Talk to everyone with respect. Even when they don't deserve it, talk to them with respect. Ephesians 4:2 says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. We all have faults. So make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Number three, how do we build each other up? Be wise in your speech. We should be wise in our communication. Communicate more effectively by thinking before you speak. Some of us speak before we think, especially when we are angry. There was a word I spoke to my wife. We've been married for almost 45 years now. But there was a word I spoke to her years and years, even before I became born again. Very hurtful word. And she still remembers it today. She will recollect it. He said, you did this to me, that, and I've even forgotten about it. So we should be wise. We should think before we speak. Because those hurtful words, you can't take them back. Once they go out, you can't call them back. Be encouraging. When you are having conversation with someone, try a way to encourage that person. That's another way of building ourselves up. Be encouraging. Be quick to forgive. That's another one. Be quick to forgive. And stay away from gossip. You cannot build someone, you cannot be a builder if you're a gossiper. Paul wants us to imagine every conversation is a building. Who are the builders? Contractors. He says, imagine every conversation as construction site. As a construction site. Every conversation, when you're having conversation with somebody, you say, begin to imagine that you are in a construction site. And the words we speak are the building blocks or materials. So the words that will come out of our mouth will be the building blocks or the materials. Because what? You are in a construction site. We should consider every word that we speak as materials to build each other up. So that when you leave the construction site, when that person leaves that construction site, in other words, at the end of the conversation, the person will be better off than when you started. You must have encouraged that person according to his or her needs. He is satisfied. He is satisfied. You know, it will be a talk of the town for her. She will go home happy that you've made his or her day. Can you imagine what our home will be like if we adopt this? Paul continues to warn us on what may affect our building plan. That's in verse 30 of that passage. He says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but seek to please him. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God when you are having conversation with somebody. And how can we grieve the Holy Spirit? By saying something bad to someone who God wants to build up. The same person God created in his own image, and you are destroying him. This is someone God is trying to build up through you. Sometimes God will pass on somebody to us to encourage that person, to build that person up. And instead of building him or her up, you are tearing that person apart, gossiping and giving evil reports about the person. He now continues to tell us what it takes to be a builder. Verse 31, what does it take to be a builder? Say, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault-finding, and slander be put away from you, along with every kind of malice, all spitefulness, verbal abuse, and violence. This is because you can't be a builder if you are bitter. You can never be a builder if you are bitter. Your bitterness will always find its way to your conversation. Your bitterness will show in your words. Your bitterness will show in your tone. Your bitterness will show even in your attitude, your character. And then, what is bitterness? I checked the dictionary. It says, anger. Bitterness is an anger and disappointment at being treated unfairly. In your place of work, probably you had an issue with your boss, and then he says or she says something to you that makes you bitter. Then you come back home with that bitterness, and then you now transfer that bitterness to your children or to your spouse. And then that's what Hebrew tells us the danger about bitterness. Let's look at Hebrews 12:15, NLT. He said, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. You see, bitterness has a root. And then he says, that root is poisonous. It has a poisonous root. In other words, that poisonous root, when it grows, it will affect all the branches of the tree. Because the root is poisonous. So that's one bad thing about bitterness, is that you try to pay another person back, because you cannot get back to the person that made you to be bitter. You can't get back to your boss. But now your spouse or your children are paying for it, for your bitterness. Why? Because according to Hebrews 12:15, bitterness has poisonous root. And because it has poisonous root, it can easily spread to other parts of the tree. In verse 32, he tells us the antidote to bitterness. The antidote to bitterness, the solution to bitterness. It says, be kind and helpful to one another. Tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another really and freely, just as God in Christ also forgive you. So the antidote to bitterness is forgiveness. The antidote to bitterness is forgiveness. And what is forgiveness in this aspect? It's a decision to give someone in the past what they don't deserve. He doesn't deserve anything good because of the way he or she treated you. But you have to make a decision. A decision you have to make to give to someone in the past, give him something he does not deserve. Give him love, he doesn't deserve it. Show him kindness, he does not deserve it. So that you'll be able to extend that love to somebody else. Because when you don't forgive somebody, you are holding yourself. The person is not going anywhere, you yourself is not going anywhere. But the moment you forgive that person and give that person what he or she does not deserve, you are showing him love, you are showing him kindness, and truly, truly in your heart of hearts, you are forgiving that person. Now, you can now be able to show love to other people, because now you are free. Your mind is free. That's what forgiveness is all about. And it's very important as children of God. I'm so happy. The video we're going to watch is 16 minutes, and I have 16 minutes. Praise the Lord. Children, be very careful with the words you say to your parents. They are words they will continue to remember. Husbands, be very careful with the words you speak to your wives, because our words carry tremendous weight. Same with wives. Be mindful the words you say to your husbands, because your words also carry weight. Speak only words that build up, so that at the end of our conversation, the name of God will be glorified. Let us pray.